If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Oh, did that freeze? The challenge layups are back, and we have our full team here tonight. Phil, Annabelle, and John, all three of us, are live tonight to discuss episode number 16 of the Challenge Double Agents. Yes, we were a little bit late. Finally starting to work again. Wonderful things. And that is the reason why we are starting at 10 p.m., even though no episode ended at 10 p.m. for anybody tonight. In fact, the challenge ended at 9:05 tonight for those of us living here on the East Coast, because the challenge for some reason cannot hold its time slot because ridiculousness is just much watch TV and always takes over the time. Anyway, Annabelle, John, welcome back. John, you didn't get to talk about Big T last week. Congratulations. Another Big T centric episode. Unfortunately, though, this time she goes home.
I know. I had to shed a tear tonight because Big T is finally off the season. So sad, but what a satisfying arc we got for Big T this year.
Yeah, I totally agree. It was a satisfying arc. I don't think I'm sad that anybody's gone when they actually go, but it was cool to see her really put it in there and put her all out there and fight till the end, because I don't think a lot of people had high expectations for her. I didn't really think that she was going to be anything other than just somebody who was there for personality and all that, but she was the last female eliminated from this game as far as I can tell. So good for her. She won one, and she put up a fight. I don't like that Amber B had already done this, so she kind of had an upper hand there. But Big T put up enough of a fight, certainly more than Amber M, who I think was probably concussed within the first 15 seconds of that. But what did you think, Annabelle?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's kind of the problem with the repeating eliminations, which, again, we've talked about is probably due to, like, production constraints. Mm. But, yeah, I mean, Amber B, I think, was going to win that maybe no matter who she was up against, unless it was Pam.
I don't know if she beats Casey.
I don't know if she beats Casey. Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, I think she definitely had the upper hand just having that familiarity with the challenge. But I think she probably beats Big T in most of the eliminations we've seen thus far. So I don't know if it really would have changed the outcome if it wasn't a hall brawl. But it was a better matchup this time around as opposed to the Amber squared.
Yeah, and I think this one was more of the story had been built to this, so at least that was exciting. I think that if the story hadn't been built up the way that it had been built up, it would have been a lot less meaningful. This story played out and how this was Big T's big grand finale, which makes sense that a hall brawl kind of gets to be her big finale. Are we going to get a male hall brawl now next week that's going to be the last thing to send a man home? Are they kind of just trying to go out with a bang here and have the last two challenges just be bangers?
I hope so. That would be really exciting.
I just feel
although,
like, though, if
maybe I don't Kyle, he's going to get his Kyle's going to be in it.
Yeah. Ugh,
it's a tough call.
Yeah. I don't necessarily see them doing the same challenge back to back, even if it is for the man's elimination versus a woman's. I could be wrong because I thought it was going to be a woman's elimination this week. Or excuse me, I thought it was going to be a man's elimination this week because I thought they would rotate him, and then they didn't. So who knows? That would be exciting if they did a hall brawl, but poor Kyle.
Yeah, I guess my thinking was wrong on this because I had said that I thought that we were going to get a male elimination this week as well, because then you would end up where a female is set up to just make the final going into next week. However, I actually think that this was more fair. I think it was more fair to have a male kind of automatically be put in there, because even though the women had less chances to get their gold skull, once everybody had a gold skull, the women had a lot less chances of actually getting eliminated from the game than the men did. Yep. And so I actually do think it's more fair that the men who didn't have three or four medevacs, whatever it was, and only had one or two. I can't keep track. But I do think that this was more fair to let the women really have to battle it out, which one of the final – or have the men, the four of them be eligible, but one be safe, whereas the women, all of them could go at the same time. And honestly, it probably worked in the favor of Casey, Cam, and Nani, because thinking that it's a male elimination, they were totally focused on CT and Kyle, and they weren't at all focused on which women would be going in.
Yeah, that's a big thing, and we even see the repercussions of it as early as the end of this episode, too, where Amber takes Fessy, making Nani a free agent, and she then takes Kyle, and we saw CT and Kyle being like, no, pick the other person. I don't want to be your partner, because they knew they are safe next week if they're the rogue agent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have to be assuming you're not running this final at 6. You're probably running it at 8, considering the Gold Skulls came in at 10, and if you start to figure out how this is all going down, it just makes the most sense. Yeah, Kyle and CT were battling it out, and I'm actually kind of surprised that Nani took Kyle. What do we think about this decision, Annabelle, to take Kyle?
I was surprised by it, too. I think just knowing all the experience that CT has and the fact that he's won a few times before and, like, Nani hasn't won before and Kyle hasn't won either, I don't understand. Like, if she really wants to win, you would think she would want to give herself the best chance to win and take the strongest partner that was available. I guess her fear was that she would still be eligible for their team to be thrown into the creator next week for that male elimination if she takes CT. So I guess she's hoping that maybe, you know, Kyle goes in and loses and she'll be able to end up with CT anyway. But I still think that's a pretty big gamble. And she has the numbers, so I'm not really sure why she would elect to take Kyle over CT.
I think that's exactly it, though, is whoever Nani took in that instance is going down into the crater next week.
Unless she can win the daily with daily, it. Because if she wins the daily, that person isn't. And I mean, I would much rather win the daily with CT on my team than win the daily with Kyle. Because now you are ensuring CT runs the final. And you knew that next week you're not going down. A woman is not going to be competing in the elimination challenge next week, because ultimately that would be ridiculous. It's 5-4. A woman has to go, or a man has to go home next week. So I would have taken CT. If you win the elimination, or if you win the daily, you stay with CT, or CT goes down, CT gets kicked out of the game. And then, I mean, it kind of depends on who the female partner is, but you're the one, if CT loses, who picks the man they want to participate in the final with.
Right.
So that's still going to be the case with Kyle, but it would ensure that she's not running the final with Kyle. And whoever is running the final with Kyle is probably going to be in a worse position than she's going to be running the final with CT, just based on CT's experience. So I feel like this was the wrong decision, because now, while I assume Kyle is going to go down next week and she will ultimately get to pick whether she wants CT or Fessy or Leroy or Corey, I keep forgetting Corey's even there, but she's going to get to pick which one she wants when Kyle loses, if Kyle loses. I still think she should have gone with CT, because if CT wins, worst case scenario, you're running the final with CT. Best case scenario, you're running the final. You're not going to be running the final pretty much with Kyle in any situation. Although, now that I say it all and think it all through, if she's with CT, CT wins, the woman who loses would pick CT, and then she would end up stuck with Kyle. So never mind, she would have ended up being stuck with Kyle. I don't know how much further into the future she was thinking, but maybe somebody else can answer for me.
I think it was also just spite. Mm-hmm. I think she doesn't get along with Kyle. It's just like, I'm not giving you a free ride here. You're going down. I'm going to make it possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Annabelle?
I guess that's it, because whoever was rogue would go in automatically, and she just kind of wanted one last ditch effort to get kind of Kyle out of the equation completely. And I mean, if Kyle is out of the equation, I mean, you have like four really good options.
Yeah.
No matter who you end up running with. So I guess like inadvertently she was giving herself the best chance. And at least now with Kyle as her partner, like, I don't know if she would necessarily try to throw the daily, but if they don't win, which I mean, Casey and Leroy are on a roll here. They won their fifth daily this season.
Oh, don't worry. I have lots to say about this daily.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We'll get into that. But yeah, I guess, I mean, if she just kind of slacks off a little bit in the daily, then you can pretty much guarantee Kyle's going in. So.
Am I the only one, though, that doesn't think Kyle is necessarily the worst person out of these five to run the final with? I understand why she might not want to run the final with Kyle, but I think, Annabelle, when we were talking about it last week, he doesn't actually seem like he's an automatic, easy, worst person to run this final with, because Fessy's definitely a sprinter more than anything. I don't really trust his endurance as much. And I know that when he ran it the first time, it was at the Nisa. So what do we really know? But I don't trust his much. We've already talked about how Corey's not very good at puzzles at all. So you have Leroy, CT, and Kyle, who arguably could be better than the other two. I think it's just Kyle irritates them all so much that you get worried. I don't want to run with this guy, even though in reality, he's proven himself to not be nearly as bad as everybody thinks he is.
Yeah, no, we did talk about this and I agree with you. And I think like Fessy like looks physically strong. He is a big burly guy who can, you know, run through walls and, but you're right. Like his endurance is not probably as strong as it is with some of the other competitors. And like, being big and burly is great for a lot of the dailies and great for the eliminations, but I don't know if it's necessarily like going to be the best asset.
I think we're at a point in the challenge where it doesn't matter which of these five guys we run the challenge with. You're going to have a strong competitor anyways. Yes, Kyle beat both Fessy and Corey in the final last year. But Fessy was running his first final, and I think maybe we're underestimating the amount of work Fessy put in before this challenge. And I think we might be underestimating his ability, his endurance at this point, because we haven't seen it tested yet.
Yeah, I see. I'm scared of Fessy in a hall brawl. Fessy would make me look like pavement. You know, he just put me into the ground and it would be like the SpongeBob gif of him putting the dirt over the top of him. But anything else, I'm not really scared of Fessy in. Now, I know he could probably be good at puzzles. He's done Big Brother, so that has shown. I mean, we were all making fun of Josh and he came out and did the puzzle in 3 seconds both times he had a puzzle to do. But I'm not really too scared of him and everything else. And I think people kind of fall in love with the fact that he's like 6'6" or whatever the hell he is and built like, unbelievably, he's built like a god. And I think people kind of fall in love with that a little bit too much and don't look at what this final really is going to be. Not saying Kyle would be better. I'm just saying there's an argument to be made that Kyle is better. And I think that it is thrown around pretty easily, kind of like what we were saying with Big T. Big T is kind of being disregarded this whole season. And then she comes out and she beats Anissa. Amber B is being disregarded a lot this season. Amber B, I am not giving her any credit for winning the two hall brawls. She went against the two easiest competitors to win hall brawls against, but that doesn't mean I'm counting her out of a final.
Right.
And it doesn't seem like the guys really want to run with her. It seems like it's a battle for, I want Cam, I want Casey. If I can't have them, I better get Nani. But Amber B might secretly be the best option for a final.
Yeah, and I have to give it to Amber B. I have really grown to love her this season. I was really cold on her when we didn't really see a lot of her. But just like that fire she had tonight, just realizing she's been betrayed by the Big Brother Alliance and that you just can't rely on these big alliances the entire time to get you through the game. I'm okay with Amber B coming back in a future season at this point, which I didn't think I would be a couple weeks ago.
What do we think of her decision to pick up Fessy, though? Do you think it was kind of similar to Nani's decision to take Kyle, where it's kind of like out of spite a little bit, like she's mad at him?
It seemed like it from her confessional.
Yeah, it seems like it's kind of an FU to the Big Brothers, because now you know that it's a male elimination and CT can't be one of them. So is Cam going to throw down Leroy? Absolutely not. So now you can throw down Kyle. That's easy. But you know what, Fessy? If you wanted to get me down there, wait until you find out that they really don't have a problem with you, that they are fine throwing you down there as well, because they're not going to throw down Leroy, and they're not going to throw down, and they can't throw down CT. And I mean, maybe they throw down Corey. You would think that that would make sense, but Corey is with Cam. So Leroy and Cam aren't going to vote for each other. It's this little voting block. And if their partners don't vote for the opposite either, well, then guess what, Vessi? You're just as expendable as I was. I think that's kind of what Amber was saying.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of voting, well, I think CT did make the right decision in putting his vote on Kyle today and making sure that it was not a tie. I really wanted it to be a tie tonight.
Me too.
I just wanted to know what was going to happen.
One of the biggest problems with this season is there's so many questions left unanswered, and that's one of them. What would have happened if there was a tie? Would both teams have gone in? Would the double agents have made both picks? It's the same thing as how the double agents have always voted together. What if the double agents don't vote together? And I think that's what sucks. I wish we could have seen those things. I'm frustrated that we didn't see those things, because now I'm left wondering, okay, CT is 100% right. He gets screwed if the tie means both of you go in. Then it's CT versus Fessy. He doesn't want to go against Fessy. So, of course, he's going to put Kyle in there. This is strictly to save Kyle's ass, and CT knows that, and Kyle knows that. But what if there was a tie? We don't know what the actual stakes were with a tie. What if the tie would have meant those two teams can't go in, and then the other two teams have to go in? We don't know, and I think that's what's kind of frustrating about not knowing all of the rules ahead of time. Well, I think it's okay to pull the wool over people's eyes sometimes. I think doing it all the time just simply does not work.
I wonder if that's why CT just didn't want to risk it, because maybe even the competitors themselves didn't know, and they were like, screw it, I'm not risking this. Like, I'm
they did mention that in this episode too, right? That they didn't know what happens when there was a tie.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's a fear, but I kind of think that that fear ruins the possibility of a tie, doesn't help the possibility of a tie. And not for nothing, a reality TV show wants things that happen once or twice. They do want those things. So I think that they probably want at least one tie, but they're not structuring the game to create a tie pretty much ever. And not for nothing, the way that this whole season has shaped out, it has felt like, okay, this Big Brother alliance has been running the entire game. It's really hard to keep track of everybody who's in the alliance, because there's just so many people. And even as I talk through some of the things, as we saw earlier in tonight's episode, I end up contradicting myself and then realizing where my mistake was. I think that could be kind of a problem with it. But I don't know. I just think that there's just too many things that are just kind of left up in the air that I wish we would have known the answer to. And people are saying in here, well, TJ said they would have had to go down. They've done a season where that happened before, but that doesn't necessarily mean it happens in this season. We don't like that. There's no guarantee that that's what happens in this season.
Yeah. Until we actually see it on this season, we can infer from previous seasons what the rule might be, but who knows if they decided to change it this time.
And it's the same thing. Maybe like he even says to Casey and Leroy, oh, you guys are standing up there, so you already have your gold skulls. You don't want to come down here. I mean, why would you punish Casey and Leroy? You know what I mean? Like who have gold skulls. I feel like that would be weird. So I don't know. I would have liked to have seen some of that stuff play out this season. It ultimately doesn't. CT 100% made the right move. He does not. He'd rather go up against Kyle and beat Kyle than go up against Fessy. Because if it is a hall brawl and you got to go against Fessy, CT might be able to beat him. But that's going to be painful. That's going to hurt his 50-year-old body. So that's hard. But, John, you had said you have a lot to talk about with Leroy and Casey. We haven't talked about this daily at all. What is your take on Leroy and Casey? And then we will open up to talking about this daily.
Despite the fact that Leroy and Casey are by far dominating this season, they've won 5 dailies at this point. They've literally controlled this entire season. They've been in the majority alliance. They've been double agent 5 times, so they've literally decided the fates of almost everyone in this house. And they kept stringing wings together because they got to choose things because they previously won the double agent.
That tonight was annoying, that they got to choose annoying right after. And I feel like the problem with the double agents picking that I don't have a problem with the double agents having that power. I have a problem with the fact that that has not been how it's always been all season. And therefore, the double agents already have so much power by being able to choose who they want to go in against the team that's voted in. To also give double agents that much power at other times feels like too much, especially when it's something this massive where they get to just go twice.
Yeah, that was what I didn't like about it. I don't understand why they set this challenge up for when there were an odd number of teams left. Why couldn't they have done this last week?
Just move it up. Yeah.
Move it up and just switch it with another one where the numbers don't necessarily matter. Like, because they would not have won had they not gone twice, because we saw it was a very close race. And Nani and Fessy and
Kyle
and Amber were right there. And, you know, they probably only won by like one or two targets. And had they not been able to go twice, there's no way they would have won.
Mm-hmm. They won by a single target.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they broke up both heats, you had it so CT and Big T were in one, Amber and Kyle were in the other, which meant the other one of the defenders could always be on them to prevent them from winning.
Right.
And then Casey and Leroy just had two chances to get the most targets. Completely unfair. This shouldn't have been run at five teams left. It should have been run at six teams last week. There's no need for this skydiving daily from last week to have been run with that many people. Whereas this one distinctly gives an advantage to one team. And it happens to be the team that was already in power the week before.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the skydiving thing probably came down to a production aspect where they probably could only get that plane and all of that stuff at that time. And they said, well, what do we do? Well, we just got to do it. We just got to say, screw it. I wouldn't be surprised if that's a scheduling conflict, which ultimately that happened. But I absolutely agree. I would have almost been more okay with this if, because they were the double agents, they were guaranteed to be able to run in a 3-versus-2 thing. Mm-hmm. And then they either don't play defense ever, and then maybe they don't play defense. The first one is 2-on-2, and then they come in the second one and they're a third team. That could be interesting. Mm-hmm. Or if it's 3-on-2 and then 2-on-3 and they play defense still, and the two teams that are going against three on defense have a little bit less of an advantage, but hey, that's the social game that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
I would have been more okay with that. I just don't like that they just got to run twice because last week's challenge worked out for them. And if they don't win tonight, what's wrong with them? Like, there's no way that like any team that had that massive of an advantage was going to win tonight.
Right. Yeah, that's as close to rigging a challenge as I think they've probably come this season, honestly. And, like, that has always been a staple of the challenge where whoever is, like, the reigning champion of the daily, they get to determine the order. But, yeah, that they should have, like, drawn straws or something to kind of just add a little element of chance to it to make it a little bit more exciting. I mean, I'm not saying they didn't work hard when they were in that hamster ball, but, yeah, that just made for very I don't know, predictable and, you know, kind of frustrating TV.
Yeah, and I would have been fine if they even picked the order, like I said, and then they get to pick who runs offense with them and who runs defense against them, and then they either sit out the next one or who runs defense with them and who runs offense. I just don't like the way that that shapes up. Although I did like this challenge. I thought this was a cool challenge, and I wish they would have done this with more even numbers because I think this was probably one of the most interesting ones we have seen so far this season in terms of dailies where it really was a real game. There really actually were things going on, and I felt like there was a purpose to it. I felt like it wasn't just a bunch of arbitrary things thrown together. It was pretty interesting, and I like when people are in these uncomfortable type situations, you know, in that ball that's rolling. Now you're working with how can you make that happen? I think that's interesting. So I liked it. However, I would have liked it a lot more if it wasn't so obvious that Leroy and Casey were just going to win.
Yeah. I think, again, part of this comes down to the amount of people who were removed from the game for non-elimination purposes because they definitely had to adjust the game because of it. I think the reason there were 10 skulls is because they just, even if we just look at like the episode count, they intended to run this final with five teams.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty positive at this point based on the number of medevacs and quits and everything. So I don't know if that meant they had to readjust some of these challenges on the fly and they just didn't realize how lopsided this one was. But something happened on the production side that really made this unfair, especially given the circumstances of the house at this time.
Yeah, and I think that's another issue too. It's one thing if this happens at Final 13 or something, and you're looking at 7-6, and it's like, okay, well, there's still enough game left. But happening in right before the final male elimination of the or the final female elimination. I know I'm still thinking as if it was going linearly. But right before the final female elimination of the season, that's a problem. Like that's an issue for me. I think that's too late in the season. It's like, I always think about the crappy coconut challenge from Survivor. They used to that final 10, final 9, though. There was a way to kind of make amends or change your fate. If they did that at final 5, you'd say, what the hell? Like, you're right outside of this. How could you do that? That's what this kind of felt like to me. Like it's I like said, having, go ahead, Annabelle.
It's like having the Idol Nullifier at Final 5 in Island of the Idols. Mm-hmm. Like Dean just getting to totally cancel Janet's Idol. I don't. It's just like it's too much power for that late in the game with so many little people left.
Yeah, I agree. It's just too much. And I don't know. I just think that it's giving too much power to an already powerful couple that's already in the majority and all of that. And I'm not faulting them at all for all of those things. But, you know, good for them for playing the right game. Just weird how it ended up shaking up. That's all I will say about that. All right, John, you have anything that else you want to add on this? Because I'm kind of at the point where I feel like we should just be talking about who we think is going to end up running this final together. I know that next week we will know after the episode who's going to be paired with who. So I feel like this is almost a good time to speculate. Really, the only other thing that happened in this episode was CT waking Big T up at 5 in the morning and pretending he's Rocky Balboa. It's so over the top. I can't handle it. It's so much.
But it was so fun.
It was fun, but it's so much. It is so.
It's definitely a TV moment, but at the same time, it really does add to everything with Big T. And it really did just, it endears her to your heart. You just want her back time and time again. I think there is no doubt about it. Big T is a challenge stable now.
Yeah.
And we're all just going to be waiting for her to finally win a final.
Will she ever win one, do you think?
I think so. I think it's inevitable. I think she's just going to keep coming back. And I think eventually she'll get there.
I mean, Anissa never did.
I have more faith in Big T than I do Anissa.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this then. So Big T is gone. CT looks like he's running the final. Who do we think is going to be the men thrown into the challenge? I don't even know what I'm saying. Who do we think are going to be? There's the word I was looking for. The men thrown into the elimination next week. And who do we think is actually going to win the double agent and thus not be able to be separated?
John, you want to go first or you want me to?
Sure, I can go first. Okay, Daily, I think Casey and Leroy are just going to take it again. They're too powerful at this. They are actually just an incredible duo. It's impressive how much they have dominated this game. I think you're going to see Kyle and Fessy down in the crater next week. And I think you're going to see Fessy take it. And then he's going to steal Casey.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But if they win double agent, he can't steal Casey.
That's a good point. So maybe,
So Cam and Corey would have to
win. Cam and Corey would have to win the daily then?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he won't. Maybe he just takes Cam, and then Cam and Fessy run the final.
So do we think Corey and Cam are going to run this final together? Now, here's my question. Do we think the double agents, let's say Fessy and Kyle go down, Kyle loses, as we would expect with Kyle versus Fessy. Do we think Cam and Corey get a chance to try to run with someone else, or are they stuck with each other and have no say in, hey, TJ, I would really rather run this final with someone else. We're the double agents. We should at least get some sort of say in if we want to stay together or go with someone else.
I feel like they're running together at this point. Mm. They seem like comfortable enough together. They don't seem to have any like major issues. The numbers are so low at this point. It's like, who else are you going to pick who might give you a better shot? I don't know. I really think like Fessy and Corey are probably like pretty similar in terms of how well they would do potentially in a final. That's just my take. I mean, after what we saw last season and how we've seen Corey do in past finals and like just how strong Cam is, I honestly don't think it matters who she ends up with. So I think we see Fessy go in against Kyle next week. I think Fessy takes it, like John said. I think he takes Casey, which would mean that Cam and Corey by default would be the double agents. So I think they end up together. I think Casey ends up with Fessy. I think Amber B then ends up with CT. And those are your four. Nani with Leroy.
So Nani ends up with Leroy. Nani chooses Leroy over Leroy CT.
Nani.
Oh, that's right. Because it goes that
way. He'd be like left over because Casey would have left. And it's whichever gender competes and the creator is the one who gets to make the choice. And Leroy, because he's not going to take Cam because she's a double agent, he would take Nani because of their friendship. That's what I think.
Now, if Leroy and Casey do win this daily, how do we see it shaking up then? Because Fessy and Kyle would still go against each other. I don't think there's any. I think Fessy and Kyle are going to end up going against each other no matter what next week. I don't see Leroy and Casey getting thrown in there. I don't see Corey and Cam getting thrown in there just because the power of Corey and the power of Cam and the power of Leroy is too strong. Casey, although if one of those pairs is the double agent, they don't actually get a vote. So that could offset that. And then you only have five. The two could vote together. It really comes down to who CT wants to throw in there. I think he would probably want to throw Fessy in there because if Kyle can eliminate Fessy, that would be better for him. So ultimately, I think that's kind of where CT is going to be in the swing position. But let's say it's Leroy and Casey. How do we see this shaking up if Leroy and Casey do end up being the double agents?
I still think the winner of the challenge just takes Cam at that point. Right? Here is an interesting point. Alex in the chat mentioned, if you want a different partner, you have to go into elimination. What if someone wins the double agent, doesn't want to run with that person, ties the vote with them, votes for someone, the other pair or whatever, goes down. They have to go down themselves, and then they get eliminated. So, like, say if Kyle and Nani win, Nani, the daily, Nani doesn't want to run the final with Kyle.
Right.
Nani throws her vote on whoever Kyle doesn't throw his vote on. TJ's like, okay, you can't make up your mind. Get in here yourself. Kyle still has to run this elimination. Nani gets a new partner no matter what.
Right. That would be pretty smart because, by default, you know it's going to be a male elimination. So Nani's not at risk. She can totally just throw a wrench in the whole plan.
Yep.
Yeah, and that would be interesting to watch. And that's why I also think that this is – that's why I also think, though, that that's such a stupid idea that if you don't agree, then that means you don't go. If I'm Kyle, I say, well, I'm voting second. I don't want to vote first. Like, whatever. I'm not voting for – like, that's just crazy to me. So I don't know. It's – I'm trying to think of, like, if you're Kyle, do you have any way out right now? Do you have any way out other than just winning? And even if you win, are you still screwed? Is Nani going to still try to screw you over so she doesn't have to run the final with you? That's I don't know what Kyle's move is here. I don't know who he's going to beat in order to get to the end.
He just has to hope it's not a hall brawl next week. Because I wouldn't want to face any of those men left at all.
No, I wouldn't either.
I mean, that's kind of supposed to be the beauty of the challenge, though, right? Is like when your back is up against the wall, all you can do is win. You just kind of, it's kind of like to show, you know, how competitive you are and how you can prove yourself. So I don't know. I mean, if you're not coming into the challenge prepared to get physical and prepared to fight for it, I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I don't think there's anything else Kyle can do to save himself. He's just got to, you know, try his best.
He's in the Anissa position, right?
He is, yeah.
So,
But he's got more of a shot than Anissa, I think, to win pretty much whatever he's in, as long as it's not a hall brawl.
Yep, pretty much.
And with the way that this is shaking up, I pretty much feel like it's going to be a hall brawl.
I think so too.
And I don't think he's going to be. It's going to be him versus Fessy, and he's not going to win that. I don't think he'd beat Corey either. I think Corey would beat him. Corey's just too built. Corey just knows to get low, which, by the way, Amber, Big T, get low. You got to aim for the shins. I mean, they were just going chest to chest. That's not doing anything for anybody. You're not going to push the other person over that way. You got to hit them low, flip them over, get them out that way. Yeah, so it seems like CT is going to end up paired with Amber. Mm-hmm. And are we going to get this whole Mr. Miyagi BS with now he's going to run the final with a rookie and I'm going to build you up and I'm going to grow you into this whatever. Let's do workouts. It's just your warm up. And then go run the final. And like, that's going to be his story, or are him, is that what they're going to try to be the story? And then him and Amber B just completely fall flat on their faces in the final.
We're not going to get any training montages because the final will just be the final. It'll be long enough that it'll take up the entire episode.
I mean, there might be still like a 5-minute opening where they can sneak in CT making Amber B wake up at 5 a.m. and maybe she would just like punch him in the throat or something. I mean, that maybe that would happen. I don't know. I don't think she'd have the patience for it quite the way Big T did. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. So that would be a fitting end to this season, though, with the story that CT has had, which has been like, I'm going to mold Big T into a good player and all that stuff. And I'm not going to go with Cam right away. And I'm going to abandon Cam and go back to Big T and kind of build her up. And now I'm going to run the final with a rookie. It would be fitting. It's kind of like that martyr thing. You know, it's like it just works. The others, I don't know. I mean, Corey and I feel like Corey has no chance to win this thing because I feel like he's been such a non-factor. But if he's running the final with Cam, why doesn't he have a chance, you know? Because if he's not good at puzzles, Cam sure as hell is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even if Corey goes down there next week, there's no way he would choose to switch before the final. Like, Cam is his best choice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. My heart really wants Leroy to pull out this win.
Me too.
With knowing that this is his final season. He is retiring after this season. He announced that before the season aired. Give us that Leroy win. If he can stick with Casey, he has a very high chance of doing it.
It's just going to be about can he stick with Casey.
Yeah, it's a big
or end. Cam. Or if he gets Cam afterwards too. If Fessy does win and then takes well, then Cam has to win that. It's so confusing.
I know. It's so confusing. There's so many options. Yeah. I do feel like sometimes this is overly confusing, and that's why half the time I talk myself through it and then I disagree with myself at the end of my sentence, because it's really hard to pinpoint, okay, this person chooses this person, who chooses this person, who chooses this person, who chooses this person. It goes on and on and on and on and on, and you're just like, okay, what do I do? I don't know what I'm doing. I just feel like Leroy and Cam are going to do everything in their power to not run the final together.
It makes more sense financially not to.
It does. Yeah,
it doubles their odds of winning the final.
Now, here's my question, though. The winner of this, if it's a pair, it's 500,000 and 500,000, or is it a million and a million?
It's usually a million total. Like, that's the total purse. So it would probably.
Okay, because everybody keeps talking about how they're going to be a millionaire. So I didn't know if, because the budget was probably different for this season, they're doing so much less that maybe they could put more into the prize money.
So they have had a couple of seasons where it was run in co-ed pairs. And they put it into like kind of a point system where the higher performing partner in terms of points got to decide if they wanted to keep all of the money for themselves or if they wanted to like split it evenly. And we've seen a couple of seasons where that has happened, where the dominating partner took all the money for themselves. So, and that's how Ashley Millionaire Mitchell became a millionaire, was she won with her partner and she took it all.
Which so, I would do every time. I mean, that'd be stupid not to. What, like, take your $1 million and go? Because by the time, what is it, Jeff Kent, by the time Obama takes it, you're down to 600,000 anyway. So I don't know. So if it's 500,000 each, see, that's the big difference. If it was a million each, screw it, run it together and see what you can do. Mm-hmm. See if you can win $2 million. if it's 500,000 each, I guess, yeah, try to get the 500,000. I mean, still 500,000 each would be massive, but try to get the 500,000 at least. And then if you were partnered, you'd win a million. There's a big difference between a million and 2 million though, because especially after taxes and everything, that 2 million is still over a million. The million drops down closer to what the 500,000 is anyway.
Right. Yeah. And part of it also comes down to there in previous seasons, that prize pool, like that $1 million prize pool is also divided between first, second, and third.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In previous seasons as well. Less likely when they're running in pairs, but last season was run and it was a winner take all season. Previous seasons to that, it was first prize gets like half the prize pool, and then second place gets less, and then third place gets less.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see how it ends up playing out. All right. Since this was a shorter episode, we're going to wrap this up shortly, but I do want to ask this question. Do we think the final will be an hour and a half, or will it be some arbitrary number between those two times?
Are they bringing it up in the two episodes?
Are they? I don't know. I'm just wondering. So, but will it be two 49 minute episodes, or will it be two 68 minute episodes? Like what do we think? How important is the ridiculousness episode that's supposed to air after this going to be?
From my understanding, there are 19 episodes total in the season. The next episode will be episode 17. That'll be that our male elimination. Mm-hmm. We'll then get the final. Then we'll get a reunion.
Okay. We don't have to watch the reunion.
I mean, they might not tell us who the winner is until then.
I was going to say, are they going to do that?
That happens sometimes.
Where they break it up and they did that with Dirty 30, where the reunion, like, they started it and they were like, let's recap the season. And then they got into it. And even just watching that on CBS All Access, I remember being irritated. So I really hope they don't do that with this.
I'm going to be honest. If they do that, I'm looking up spoilers and we're podcasting at 8:05 on the reunion finale night, because I'm not doing that. I'm not sitting through an hour and a half of nonsense. No offense.
No, I don't blame you. No. That would be pretty cruel to do that, but we'll see what they have in store. Well, but I think it is supposed to be two 90-minute episodes.
Okay, got it. Well, for anybody who's really excited, in about an hour and 15 minutes, I think the first episode of Challenge All-Stars drops on Paramount Plus. So I'm sure there's a lot of people who are very excited about that. Good for you. I'm not. I will not be watching that. But if you are into that, it's pretty much Christmas for you tomorrow. And I understand that feeling, because that's how it felt when Survivor Winners at War started and all of that. Heroes, villains. I get that feeling for sure. So congratulations. You made it to that All-Star season. That's going to be awesome. And I'll probably tune in for an episode or two of season 37, which is essentially All Stars, and we will watch that instead. I know I'm just going to piss off all the Challenge fans. I guess that's what my role is here. But anyway, John, Annabelle, anything else that we did not talk about regarding this episode that we should have, or should we get out of here and have our two episodes left before this is all said and done? All right. All head shaking. That is a good sign. All right. John and I recapped movies last night. That was a really good time. We talked about Queen Margot and Dark City, two movies nobody's probably ever heard of, but watch them. Very good movies. Dark City, a little bit more, whatever, is a good entry point more so than Queen Margot. I can't think of words tonight. Thank you. Accessible. Like, what the hell is going on over here in Phil land? But go do that. Alexa and I talked about Head of the Snake, the merge episode of Survivor Kageyan, absolutely epic episode of TV, arguably one of the best of all time. And next week, we'll be back again talking about plenty of more stuff. You know, John and I are going to be talking about Up, which will be good, and Master and Commander, a movie that nobody really knew existed. And then we're also going to be talking about more Challenge. So plenty of fun stuff going on over on the channel. Become a patron in an hour and 14 minutes. It is April 1st. That is a good time to become a patron for patreon.com/survivor specialist. April 1st, you get a full month. There you go. Start on that day. Don't start on like April 5th, because they end up charging you the same amount anyway. I love the people who are like, I'm going to start on April 29th. Ha ha. And it's like, you just paid for April. What the hell were you thinking? So start on April 1st. That is the best time to do it. And we will see you all later. Annabelle, see you in a week. John, see you in 6 days. That's the excitement here. Goodbye, everyone.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Google Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year. And use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.